Our hopes was to commercialise this as a hope to save the estuaries that are already infected, potentially preventing the disease or stopping the symptoms from progressing, to preserve the trees in the state that they're at the moment. Of course, all the trees I've cut down, they're not going to grow back, but the hope is that we can preserve the variety within our woodlands and hopefully stop the further decline of the trees.
It's great to be back with another Environment Edge podcast, and you're very welcome to the show. We're delighted to be joined by the winners of the BT Young Scientist Group Project and Chagas Award.
Leading the battle against ash dieback, Loretto Secondary School Balbriggan students Abigail and Erica O'Brien Murray and Olivia O'Shea join us to discuss how we can save the common ash.
I'm Cathal Summers.
And I'm Deirdre Glenn,
your Chagas Sustainability Advisors. And we're back for another Environment Edge podcast number 77. Here we go.
Abigail, Olivia and Erica, you're extremely welcome to the show. Congratulations, girls, on your big win. Two big wins, I believe, at the Young Scientist Competition. So you got the best group winners and you also got the Chagas Award. And the judges were extremely impressed with your entry. So can you tell us a little bit about why you decided to do this particular project on the ash tree?
Well, ash trees are so important for our culture and our biodiversity. At the moment, up to 90% of ash trees are being affected by ash dieback, which is a pathogenic fungus that's killing the ash trees because it's cutting off the water supply to them. Ash trees are so important for our culture because they're used for the making of ash hurleys, which are so important for our national sport, and also so important for our biodiversity because at the moment, up to 955 species currently depend on the ash tree for survival. So with the loss of ash trees, there's also a massive loss in biodiversity as well.
A lot of work must have gone into the whole area around the project as well. You were in the Young Scientist, you said, when you were in second year, is that right as well?
Yes, we were. So we participated all together three times and then separately four times in other competitions as well. So we've been in the competition scene for a while, and we've been looking at this particular project for around 2 years, where last year we also put it in and we also did very well. So this is just an extension of our project.
So which have you decided that the ash tree was the one to go with?
I went to a TY course for botany in Trinity about 2 years ago now. And that's where I first heard about the issue of ash dieback and how detrimental it was to the biodiversity of, and culture of Ireland. And so we knew we wanted to do BT Young Scientists together. So we brainstormed a few ideas and we came across a research paper that discussed how naturally increasing the levels of one of the hormones we worked with increased the other within poplar trees, and that inhibited or decreased the growth of the fungus, a rust fungus. So we wanted to see, with both poplar trees and ash trees being broadleaf and the rust and ash dieback being pathogenic funguses, so disease causing, that if it would work in a similar manner if we added the two hormones to the trees.
All right, okay, brilliant. Great stuff.
Just like we were talking off air before we came on, and can you tell us the real reason why you're following up on ash dieback? A few of you are from Limerick, I believe.
Well, as we said, it's such a huge issue in regards to our culture, but really it is just a massive issue in relation to biodiversity and the environment as well. There's such a large population of ash trees in Ireland, and they're largely important for carbon sequestration. The three of us take sustainability very seriously. With the fast approaching deadline for the Sustainable Development Goals, it's really important and is applicable to a lot of them as well.
Have you gone out to sites and see dead ash back at trees that died off?
What did it
look like?
Well, during our research, we went to loads of farms in our local areas just to see how affected our local areas were. And you'll begin to see symptoms such as leaf loss, the discoloration of leaves, and big lesions on the bark as well. And it really is just detrimental to the woodlands themselves. But even like we'll be driving home from school and you'll see they've started to cut down loads of ash trees, and you'll see that internal rotting and the black pitting within the tree.
Yeah. And we've had that at home actually. We've been hit with ash dieback, and my neighbour's house had a big ash tree beside it, and it had to be cut down because it was unsafe for exactly the reasons. How did ash dieback get to Ireland?
So in 2012 was the first known case of ash dieback in Ireland. But prior to that, trees were exported to America and places in Europe to propagate the trees. And when they brought back, they brought the disease with them.
Okay. That kind of come on the wind as well, or is it just brought in that way?
Yeah, so the disease itself is an airborne fungus. So it's spread through the air. And once the disease reached the country, it then spread quite quickly.
Yeah.
Girls, can you tell us a little bit how you did the experiment? You had three different experiments, I believe. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right? Okay,
yeah.
So can you talk us through the whole process?
Yes, so we had two main experiments, really. So what our project aimed to investigate was two hormones that are naturally present within the plant's defense system to see if them working together, the interplay between the two, could decrease the growth that's responsible for the fungus that causes ash dieback. So our first experiment was in vitro or in petri dishes. And what we did there was that we used different concentrations and ratios of these two hormones and the hormones individually to see if we could decrease the growth of the fungus. So we ran that experiment over 20 weeks and taking results every 2 weeks. And what we found through that then was a concentration that worked. And we went on to use that ratio about higher or lower concentrations within our in vivo experiments. So within little ash trees themselves, we had 90 of those out the back of our school hockey pitch. You're very generous. Let us use the space.
Very good.
What we did there was we were ensuring that the treatment we were using wasn't having any negative impact on the biodiversity of the area or the growth cycle and the life cycle of the ash tree. So we were able to take height measurements, leaf and bark counts, and we rated quality scales of our trees to see over the 20 weeks if they all follow the same patterns.
Were they healthy trees? They weren't infected trees, were they?
Originally, they all didn't show any signs of ash dieback, though we didn't test that, so we can't definitively say they didn't have it. And then throughout the course of our experiment, some of our control trees actually did get ash dieback from the surrounding trees in the area, so that was really interesting to see.
And what were the acids that you used in the experiment?
So the two hormones are jasmonic and salicylic acid. Salicylic acid is in charge of the cellular response, so telling the tree that there's something wrong, there's something that needs to be fought off. And then jasmonic acid is the cellular defense. So on a cellular level, that is what is interacting within the immune system trying to fight off this fungus. And ash trees have relatively low levels of these two hormones in comparison to other trees such as the willow tree, which has really high levels of salicylic acid. And what we did was we are applying these hormones in hopes to boost the levels within the tree to help the defense system fight off this pathogen.
And girls, how did you get to know about these acids and where did you get them? Where did you source them from?
We sourced them from Sigma Aldrich Labs. So they're it's a chemical lab, and actually the University of Galway was kind enough to supply the jasmonic acid because it is fairly expensive.
How did you apply the hormones then, say if you're trying to recreate what's in willow tree, how did you apply it to the ash tree?
Yeah, so for our experiment, for our in vivo experiment, we looked at two methods of application. So applying it to the leaves and then in micro injection into the bark. So for the injection, we had a small slit incision into the base of the bark, and then we applied the treatment with a pipette. And then for the leaf application, we used it's very similar for other applications used in research today called canopy spraying. So we did a very small scale where we used a paintbrush to apply an approximate amount of the solutions onto the leaves.
And did it work? What were your findings?
So in vivo, in vivo on our plants, we found that it had no negative effect on the natural development or growth of the trees, and no ill effect of the biodiversity surrounding the trees either. And then in comparison to the controls, which some of them did unfortunately get ash dieback, it slowed down for the treatment trees. It slowed down the presentation of these symptoms. And then for our in vitro experiment, so on our petri dishes, we found that it slowed down the growth of the fungus up to 92%, and then on average 82%.
Well, that's massive. And so you're able to slow it down, completely slow it down. Did you find it could eradicate it in any way or completely?
We were testing the inhibition, so really the prevention of this growth of the fungus in the petri dishes. And it would have never been fully 100% due to we were testing colony diameter, so how big it grew. But each petri dish would start with the diameter of 5 millimeters because we inserted fungal plugs into the petri dishes. But some of the treated dishes that were treated were a successful solution. Only grew roughly 2 to 3 millimeters larger than they had begun.
Yeah.
So it was more successful in vitro than in vivo?
So in vivo, we weren't actually testing if we could decrease the growth of ash dieback, as we didn't have the space or equipment to apply the fungus to the trees. We were merely testing that the treatments themselves and having any negative impacts
on the plants.
And you're for agriculture and forestry, it's hugely important that, and everything that we do, especially environmentally, when we're trying to fix things, is we have to make sure that it doesn't hold back production, which is obviously important, because if it does, you know, that's an economic problem. When you had the actual ash tree plants and your school let you grow them there, How often do you have to put the application on? Is it kind of a once-off or is it regular?
So for our experiment for our trees, we applied it every 2 weeks. We applied it every 2 weeks to the trees because this is what's commonly done for other fungal diseases and a method that is commonly used. So we imitated that within our experiment. For the future, we would have to do more research into seeing our application methods on a greater scale, and maybe that might mean less frequently or more frequently. So just more research will have to be done for that.
As Erica said, we set out with the hope that it didn't affect the biodiversity within the area, and really what we were looking at is if this treatment had to be applied every 2 weeks, it didn't have an effect. But as Olivia said, it could be less frequent than this.
And do you feel that weather would have had any impact on the plant? You know, because we get so much rain.
Yes.
Would the hormone be absorbed very, very quickly, or would there have been an impact that way?
Yeah, so the two application methods we used, first the leaf one, it was applied directly to the leaf to allow the treatment to be taken in through the stomata and into the vascular system, which is where this disease takes hold. And then through the base of the tree, we were cutting directly into the vascular system to allow the treatment to travel there. So even if parts of it were washed off with, say, the rain or the weather, enough treatment made it into the system to allow it to treat the tree.
It's obviously been hugely successful. Like, we're really digging into it at the moment, but like what you've done is amazing. Is there anything on the market like this already, or is there a potential to roll this out on a wider scale?
So currently research is being done into trees that are genetically resistant to the disease, but our hopes was to commercialise this as a hope to save the ash trees that are already infected, potentially preventing the disease or stopping the symptoms from progressing, to preserve the trees in the state that they're at the moment. Of course, all the trees I have cut down, they're not going to grow back, but the hope is that we can preserve the variety within our woodlands and hopefully stop the further decline of the trees. We'd be looking into, as they said, different application methods on a much larger scale. And once this is achieved and we know how frequent it needs to be applied, there's definitely a hope that this could be used throughout the island. And we actually went as far as patenting our idea for further work on it, and we currently have a short-term Irish patent for the next 10 years.
Excellent.
Great. Brilliant.
Are you linking up with any organizations like, say, Chagas for some help or some to try and develop it with you? Or is it you might want to share the big check at the end of it?
Currently, at the moment, we're discussing with each other what we want our next steps to be before we go any further. But it's definitely looking application route and then amounts and stuff like that. And hopefully that we will be able to get in contact with one of these organizations to be able to help us, I guess, spread the treatment and commercialize it.
Yeah, I think you're fantastic, girls. You know, you've got your mocks, you've got your orals coming up, you've got your exams, and you've got all of this done. What an accomplishment for the couple of years that you've been in school.
Thank you. Yeah, it was hard work, but look, it powers us through like the hard times, you know, always having something to fall back on and knowing that, yeah, you know, you just have to research a little bit or finish the booklet. It was a nice fallback and sort of pastime for us, you know, taking away from the study and stuff.
Yeah, and your school must be super proud of you and your parents and everybody proud of you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Do you have a supervisor or some support in the school?
Yeah, so this year our teacher Daniel Toomey, I'm not sure if he wants his name mentioned now, so we'll come check.
We met him earlier, yes.
But he's been fantastic help throughout the entire process, both with making sure that we were okay throughout the whole thing and giving us a hand if the workload got too much, and just with helping with ideas throughout the project as well. Last year we had a different teacher on the project. She sadly left the school now, but she was also a fantastic help, and we definitely wouldn't have been able to do it without the two of them and the science department here in our school, who have been a massive support throughout the entire thing. And then just very important as well, our parents, our friends, when you come in going, oh no, it's not working, there's always someone who can try to cheer you up, going, no, go on, just a little bit more. And I guess they were just really big help, as well as we had some support from outside organizations, such as University of Galway, as I mentioned, were able to supply the jasmonic acid, and Chagas were able to supply us with fungal cultures and the leaves from the ash gene bank down in Carlow as well.
So we supplied you with the disease. That's good to hear, Anna. Look, girls, you mentioned your parents and your school and your teacher, your supervisor. As parents ourselves, I'm sure they're hugely proud of what you've achieved. It's no small achievement what you've done. You've won the group award. You've also won the Chagas award. It's not just that though. Your project is very in line with actually what's happening on the ground, real live issues today. So huge congratulations to the three of you, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of you in the future. Well done, and it's great to have a chat to you today on the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for
having us on and letting us share about this research. We love sharing it and letting people know what's actually happening and bringing this issue to light, that more work needs to be done to save our common ash tree.
Good luck with your exams, and I hope you get what you want to achieve, girls.
Thank you.
So there you have it. Tune in next time to hear more interesting chats and discussion.
Myself and Deirdre will be back in 2 weeks' time, but do give us a rate and review on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening to the Environment Edge podcast.